I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com, coming to you every Wednesday here. Find us on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at PrepRally.DJournal.com. I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined by Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan, back from Jackson, and I'm sure happy to be so.
Good to be back.
Yeah, and what's crazy is we just looked at the schedule the other day, and we've only got like five more weeks of baseball.
You missed half
spring,
the,
just like.
You missed half the season.
Yeah, I missed it. David Wheeler, who's on our staff and has done a lot of high school writing for us over the years, said division play starts next week. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So I think all the preseason games.
I think some may have already started division play, a few teams. And David's been doing some updates there for us in the journal and at djournal.com. But we're going to talk about basketball today because y'all spent basically 2 weeks in Jackson. Following several area teams vying for state titles. We had several bring some titles back. Pine Grove Girls, Ashland Boys, Lafayette Girls, and Ingemar Girls. I think that's that we had those four. Bring back titles out of the four out of the 12 that they awarded. So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So we're going to talk about that today. We're also going to touch on all area basketball. Now that y'all are back, you get to turn your attention to picking the best of the best here in Northeast Mississippi. Not going to give anything away, but we'll talk about some obvious candidates for those awards. And, of course, we'll have Athletes of the Week, as we have every week. Before we move on, I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter, at DJournalPreps. Follow us there for links to stories, updates with scores and whatever else. Blake's on there as well, at Blake Morgan DJ. Gene is at Gene Phelps. Okay, let's talk state tournament. Let's start in 1A. That's where we had a couple of champions from Northeast Mississippi. Pine Grove's girls, they rolled past Leake County 47-27, Gene. And, you know, impressive performance, obviously, but bigger picture, I mean, this, I guess we can say that Katie Bates has Pine Grove back. I mean, they first title in 31 years. And, I mean, and they just, 3 years ago were not a very good team.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, it was kind of, when you look at Katie Bates, Katie actually, 3 years ago, they won eight games. The year before that, her first year at Pine Grove, they actually went down and made it to the state championship game and lost.
That's true.
Then those players were gone. She had to start off with a kind of a new group. And they went from eight wins to, I've got it written down here somewhere, whatever they finished, 20-something wins. I mean, they won a state championship. That's the key. And just some outstanding coaching job.
Yeah.
And, you know, Katie Bates had success at Ripley. She won a state championship there and played in the finals two other years and lost. So, you know, she's been to the state championship game now five times and won two. That's not bad.
Not bad at all. And obviously knows what she's doing. But got some really good play from Haley Vick. I know she was really impressive in the state tournament, wasn't she?
She was. She kind of took over in the championship game and wasn't afraid to drive the lane. She's a junior. All those girls are about the same height. They play really well. They play great man-to-man defense, which is Katie's known for, and that's one of the reasons they won a lot of games. Another key player for Pine Grove was a freshman, Lauren Elliott. Lauren averaged she had one six-point game, but she had a 19-point game and a 21-point game.
Wow.
And she's been their probably most consistent scorer all year. I believe all those girls are averaging probably 11, 12 points a game. And she's usually the one that takes the lead. Of course, we mentioned Vic earlier. She had a great tournament. She's a junior. And Lauren's father's Tony Elliott. He used to coach at New Albany. And he later coached at Pine Grove, which is his alma mater.
Right.
And so she's got some basketball pedigree in her.
No doubt.
And her sister's on the team, too. Lexi, I believe, is her name. And she's a good player coming off the bench.
So Pine Grove with the 1A girls title, 1A boys, Ashland winning back-to-back. Not too surprising. They got DeAnthony Tippler leading the way there. The guy can fill it up. And that's not all they got. They got Kadarius Crum as well, and he was a big factor in them beating Shaw.
Yeah, literally big, 6'6" guy.
Yeah.
Grabbed 14 points, 9 rebounds in the championship game. It was really interesting. You know, they beat Shaw 88-57. And the entire year, you know, the team's kind of ebbed and flowed with D'Anthony Tipler. And I wrote about that in our little Factsbox preview was, you know, they'll go as far as Tipler takes them, which was not the case at all. Tipler ended up with 16 points to lead all of the Blue Devils in scoring, but I mean, they had 5 guys in double figures. Equavian Akcum, Richard Brooks, and Juwan Martin, who I thought really could have been the MVP, was Juwan Martin. He played a great game, 14 points, 12 rebounds in his last game for Ashland. They just came out and beat the doors off of Shaw. They beat the doors off of Holka.
Yeah, which is impressive because, I mean, Holka got Madarius Hobson. They held him in check pretty much.
Oh, yeah. They just went out and just beat the brakes off of both the teams in the finals and semifinals. It's really funny because, I mean, they played West Lowndes in the quarterfinals, and that game came down to free throws.
Yeah.
They could have lost that. And, it was funny that they just kind of walked to the championship. But, yeah, they were clearly just the best team in 1A and took care of their business. You know, I talked with Dylan Barnes, who's our new Ripley writer and writer at the Southern Sentinel, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, because he followed them a bit more closely during the year than I had, and he said, you know, they actually they kind of have this tendency where they'll sleepwalk through games, and then you know, one quarter they'll just go off and that'll carry them.
Yeah.
But in the finals and semifinals, I mean, they just went out and they just played, strung together four good full quarters, which they really didn't do all year. But you know, what a time to kind of hit your stride and carried them to a championship back to back.
Ashland Blue Devils 1A state champs. Let's look at 4A girls. We had an all area matchup there between Lafayette and Ripley. Had some good players on the floor for both teams. Shania Buford from Lafayette, Deja Rogan from Ripley. Didn't want to mispronounce her name there. And, you know, this was the third time Lafayette and Ripley played, and Lafayette went 3-0. But Ripley gave them a tough game, didn't they?
Ripley played well late in the season and actually, you know, figured had a really good shot to bring home a gold ball. Steve Willey, I believe it's his second year's coach, and he just did a great job down the stretch when you needed to. Anytime you can get your team in the championship game, you've done a great job.
Sure.
Wow, Shane Lindsay wins a state championship. It was Shania Buford's last chance to win one.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shane won, I believe, in 2012 with an undefeated Oxford team.
That's right.
And they went like 33-0. So, boy, that Lafayette team was strong all season long. So,
And I mean,
for them to not win, it would have been a disappointment.
I mean, they got players besides Buford. She's the headliner there. But it seems like, for instance, when we have somebody photographing their games, they seem to get good shots of like 7 or 8 different players. Because, I mean, it seems like they got
entire lineup is good. It's one of those teams where everybody contributes. But when you look at the box score at the end, Buford's got 23 and everybody else is under 10.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily an unbalanced attack.
No. And, again, Lindsay's such a great coach. And he's got, you know, he's got a chance. He won't ever have another Shania Buford, probably, unless it's her younger sister or cousin. There's another Buford, and there are so many Bufords in Lafayette County.
Yeah.
They're all kin, so I won't be gambling saying if she's she's at least kin to her, whether she's a sibling or a cousin.
So Lafayette defeating Ripley for the 4A girls title. 2A girls, Ingemar winning back-to-back titles. Now it's 2 in a row for Trent Adair and that group. And, you know, we've talked about it numerous times. They did it without Mallory Russell, the big girl who got the big post player who got hurt about
mid-season. January 21st.
Yeah, but and they had to change their style of play, and it really worked for them.
Went to more of an up-tempo style.
Yeah.
Ran more. They've got 3-point shooters, and they've got Garabeth Self, who's a sophomore, who's probably one of the best guards in the area. She usually averages about 10 points a game. When Mallory Russell got hurt, Adair was trying to figure out what he needed to do. He didn't really have a true big girl to move in there. Lauren Thompson, who had the most size probably of anybody, who's 5'10".
Yeah.
That's just not her position. She's more of a four, and she can get in there and rebound, but that's to get in there and just post up. So he kind of went with a faster lineup. They didn't lose a game.
And
he told Garabeth, it's up to you.
Yeah.
You've got to take this team on your shoulders and let's go.
And it seems like she really, I mean, she's already a good player. It seemed like she just really blossomed
second
half of the year.
You know, she's really a good player, but she just took that role. And every time she scored, she watches a lot of NBA and she'd yell out some kind of yell and things, you know. She really got excited about playing. And I'm telling you what, she put together a 16-point game in the championship. She had 22 in the semifinals and 19 points in the quarterfinals. And she took on the scoring responsibilities.
I mean, you've watched her several times this year, and she's just a sophomore. But I think it was her. You did a story sometime during the playoffs about her wanting wanted this team to be remembered at Ingemar.
We called them unforgettable.
Right, you know? And she seems to really have that drive, I don't know, maybe that it factor just that certain players seem to have.
Yeah, and she does. You know, now Mallory Russell will be back next year, and she'll be back in the lineup. She'll have two bad knees and two knee braces on.
Yeah.
But I think they saw some things that they can do next year if Mallory struggles, or they can work around Mallory. Mallory's a good player. Doesn't mean she's slowing them down or anything.
Right.
It just changes how you play. And it's always good to have a big girl back when you get a mismatch. And even in 2A, they've got a 6-footer or 6'1", and you need that matchup.
Yeah.
And right now, Ingemar doesn't have it. But golly, almost all these girls are going to be back for another 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's back next year, right?
Back next year, and then the following year, Russell would be gone, maybe one of the other shooting guards. But they've got other people coming up.
Yeah, they do.
They're loaded with sophomores and a couple of juniors and a freshman or two. So, I mean, they're going to be good.
I mean, Ingemar's always got a great basketball tradition, but, like, we're looking at, and I know you wrote the column, and Trent Adair didn't want to really talk about it, but the dynasty word gets thrown around, especially if you win three in a row next year. And, gosh, with Garabeth Self and others, just sophomores now, and maybe you hate to get ahead of yourself, but that's what we do.
And Garabeth is just going to get better and better, and I hate to keep harping on her, but I've talked to some other coaches. I talked with someone who I talked with Stephanie Murphy, who I respect. Used to coach at Tupelo High.
Yeah.
She's coaching out at Brandon now. She said, I've watched that Ingemar team the last 2 years, and that Self girl's really good. He said, I could see her playing D1 ball. And Stephanie played D1 ball.
Yeah, she'd know.
So, anyway, Garabeth, right now just thinking about high school and winning state championships, but really good Ingemar team.
Yeah, no doubt.
Just think, 2 years ago, Trent was worried about Ingemar going from 1A to 2A. He didn't think he could compete.
Yeah, they done okay. Not every team that reached the championship from here won. We had a couple of girls' teams that didn't win. West Point's girls had a little Cinderella run there, a nice run they made, and their coach probably has one of the best sports names ever, Dash Daniels. It's a great name.
And his nickname is Dash Riprock.
Dash Riprock
from the Beverly Hillbillies. For all you older listeners out there, some of you young guys, Ash Dash, if he'd ever seen the Beverly Hillbillies, and he said, no, it's just a friend of mine started calling me that in middle school. I guess he watched the Hillbillies. I never have. And I said, Dash Riprock, it's hilarious. His name is actually Dashman.
Okay.
He goes by Dash.
So West Point's girls with a good run. Starkville's girls, they were undefeated the entire season until the championship game. They ran into that Olive Branch team. They've got some D1 talent on that team. So Olive Branch won the 6A title over Starkville. Baldwin's boys also lost in 2A against
Coahoma County.
Okay.
Edit.
Yeah. Had it right in front of me. Baldwin's boys also lost in 2A to Coahoma County, which was the team that beat the Okolona, who we thought was maybe a favorite to win the whole thing, Blake. So Baldwin with a really good run. Did they just run into kind of a mismatch there?
Yeah, they ran into Coahoma County, who, you know, they had a great comeback against Okolona in the semifinals, which Gene covered, which Okolona was just beating them down, right?
And, you know, when I saw Coahoma County come back, I went, oh, Baldwin's in trouble, because they were really athletic and they just attacked. Oklahoma, the lane against Oklahoma in the fourth quarter, and weren't afraid to drive and take it to the hoop, and except late in the game when they were needing to score, and this is Coahoma County against Oklahoma, and their guy goes down, the clock's running down, he tries to shoot a three. and I'm thinking, well, how are you doing that? You didn't got 8 seconds.
Didn't
left.
Need but a two.
Right. So the three came up short. Luckily, a guy for Coahoma County got the missed shot, put it up like a put back, and we wound up being the winning points.
Wow!
But
and then in the finals, Baldwin. I mean, they just came out and really took the game over by the early point in the second quarter. They were up 22-12. I was talking with Jeff Roberts with Magnolia Hoops, and he was saying, it's probably not good that they're up by so much. And, talked with Daryl Robertson, who was saying, it's probably better if they only went up at halftime, only up, four or maybe even down two, because they went into halftime up 29-17, and it was pretty easy to that point. And, everyone was kind of
a little too relaxed.
Uneasy, yeah, by how easy it was for them to get there. And yeah, Baldwin had a 3-point third quarter. Jeez. And by the end of the third quarter, it was 32-31. And you kind of felt it going bad. And you saw kind of the body language, some of the players. It wasn't good. Grant Goolsby got a tech called on him. And, so if you've ever seen him coaching, he likes to stand up and stomp and yell. He was having to sit down because of the rule that, 7:25, Coahoma County takes their first lead in the fourth quarter, since it was 2-0, and just didn't look back, ended up winning 56-45, just kind of unraveled on
them. Probably
would
have been better if Grant could have come out and played that last 7 minutes. He'd have hit some threes.
Well, I remember covering Grant in the Mississippi Coliseum. Didn't seem like it was that long ago. He brought Myrtle down there to Jackson as a player, and now this is his first year as a coach at Baldwin there. And they lost in the championship game, but really, obviously, a really strong effort for a young first year coach.
Yeah. I saw Grant. Him before the game. I said, "You look nervous." I said, "You've been down here before." He said, "Yeah, but not as a head coach."
A little different.
Yeah, it just kind of unraveled on the second half. Coahoma County just came out in this attacking full court press, and Baldwin just couldn't get it down.
Yeah,
the court.
That was a good Coahoma team. They beat the unbeatable, supposedly, Oklahoma.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, Baldwin, I'm sure they'll be back in the mix next year with Grant Goolsby at the helm. Let's move on to all-area hoopage, guys. It's that time to start to figuring out who will be honored by the Daily Journal. We do the all-area team every year. What's the setup like this year, guys? How many players?
What we're going to do is we're doing our first team, 6 players, second team, 6 players, and then we're doing an honorable mention. We've got so many good players. I want to make sure we get some other names in there. It doesn't hurt us to put extra names in there.
As long as they're good players.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some good players on honorable mention. Very good players.
Yeah. I mean, like I said at the top of the show, we're not going to give anything away as far as who's the player of the year or who's first team, but some of the choices are pretty obvious, or some of the candidates are pretty obvious. I mean, just when you're talking about the best players, let's start with boys. Jarkel Joyner, I don't know if he currently leads the nation in scoring, but he did at one point.
He's like number two.
Yeah, you got him. You got Ladavius Drain that can light it up. We mentioned De'Anthony Tipler over at Ashland.
Hobson, Darius Hobson. Dwayne Cox at Ripley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
See?
Tipler's got a bunch of good players. I mean, none of them lighted up. Yeah, Jalen Copeland, but none of them lighted up because they're so balanced offensively, but and there's more to it than scoring. It's just a bunch. I mean, that's just a handful right there. There's a bunch of good players in the area. And the Baldwin kids.
Felix Hayes.
Yeah, Felix Hayes especially. It's not an easy job to pick first top six or the player of the year. Player of the year, again, several good candidates.
Well, you got to look at all kinds of factors. How did that player do? Of course, we always take into account scoring and rebounding and assist and things. And just how did you lead your team?
We didn't even mention C.J. Brim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. C.J. Brim is another one.
Yeah, there's another guy. It's going to be a tough selection. And it'll be the same with the girls. I mean, I'm looking at Liasia Shear from Tupelo High, averages nearly a double-double this season. Deja Rogan.
Yeah,
Ripley.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, and Shania Buford.
You got Sarah. I mean, you got the Garabeth self at Ingemar. Especially the second half, and with her, I mean, her numbers were modest until Russell went down, and then when it mattered most, I mean, she came up huge. And I think, you know, you want to look at the whole season, but I think with her, I'm not saying she's going to be player of the year or anything, but when you look at her for possible first team inclusion, at least, I mean, what she did down the stretch without Russell is just huge.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it was good. And there's a girl at Belmont, Claire Maroon, who had an – I mean, we're talking about a girl that's playing – having had knee surgery a couple of years ago, wears a bulky brace, is an amazing finesse player as playing post. She can shoot the mid-range jumper and is deadly with it. And she averaged a double-double this year.
Yeah.
And probably the toughest girls division.
Yeah. Blake, the Jones girl at Pontotoc.
Right. We don't forget about Jataja because her team got knocked out earlier. There's probably nobody better running that baseline than her.
Yeah.
And her brothers, the
Ty Jones.
Ty Jones.
So. Yeah. So player of the year or all area first and second team, and there's just some possibilities right there. Coach of the year. Now this one's also going to be tough, guys, because I mean, number one, we had four teams win state titles down there in Jackson. Only one a boys team, but three girls teams, and that makes it. I mean, you don't automatically give it to someone necessarily who won state, but you look at the job Katie Bates has done the past 3 years. I know it's a yearly award, but still put a great product on the floor. Trent Adair, what he did without Mallory Russell. I mean, that's really a testament to his coaching ability. Shane Lindsay, you know, you mentioned what he did at Oxford and now what he did this year.
For being consistent all year long.
Yeah, and he's obviously a great coach. I mean, you could give it to probably three or four different girls coaches at least.
Right, and on the boys' side, you got some people. You got Mitch Howell.
Yeah.
They won, I think, 26, 28 games at Wheeler. Went to the state tournament for the first time since 1994.
Right.
Had a phenomenal year. Won their division tournament. Mitch's dad.
Rick.
Rick Howell comes out of retirement after a year of retirement and worrying Mitch, calling him up going, where's a good game I can go watch? I think I want to coach again. And when Larry Johnson steps down after three really good years, three 19-win seasons for Larry Johnson.
At Newsite.
At Newsite's boys. And he should have been our coach of the year for that, just for a body of work for Larry. and Rick Howell steps in, and Newsite wins 23 games. And nobody at Newsite to this day has been able to get back with me and tell me the last time they won 20-plus games. Yeah. It had to have been back in the 60s when Gerald Kavnis and that crew won like five or six straight state championships. What a job Rick did. And he won his division. He beat Boonville in the division tournament championship.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to look at those two guys.
You got to look at Oklahoma's coach, Clifton.
You got to look at Jeff Norwood at Tupelo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Solid season. They beat Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, we're forgetting about the guy at Ashland, Raleigh Tipler.
You know, back to back. Grant Goolsby, you know, if they had won 2A, that could have almost sealed it for him. First year head coach.
First year to do that.
Adam Kirk at Ripley.
Adam Kirk had
a fantastic job he did.
Because they were greater than the sum of their parts, if any team was, Ripley was.
More so than I think any other boys team.
I think Adam probably out-coached just about everybody he played. I saw his team. Cox is a great player. And they've got, he's got a cast of folks around him, but he's the main guy. I saw him beat New Hope, and New Hope was a very good, powerful 5A team with a 7-footer and a dandy dozen guards, and Ripley beat them.
Exactly. So some possibilities there. We don't know quite when all this will publish. It kind of depends on a
still
first.
Waiting on soccer.
Well, yeah, we still got to get all area soccer published at some point. That's in the can, ready to go. Yeah. Got to find space for it, and that's the thing. We got to find space for this. Y'all got to get it all done. So look for that in the coming weeks in the Daily Journal. Let's wrap it up real quick. Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. Recognizing a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Let's start with the female athlete of the week, Gene.
Have we mentioned Garabeth Self on this show?
I think
today?
Maybe once or twice.
Our guard sophomore just had a average 19 points a game in the three games in Jackson.
Yeah, so Garabeth Self, pretty easy choice there, leading Ingemar to the 2A title. Male athlete of the week, Blake.
Kadarius Crum was named MVP of the Ashland Shaw championship game, 14 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. was the force down low for Ashland.
And really, brought that balance to the Ashland attack, complementing DeAnthony Tippler. So congrats as well to Kadarius Crum from Ashland. So those are your athletes of the week. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Again, coming to you every Wednesday. Find us in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Also, we're on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Okay, so we'll be back next week. Maybe we can finally start talking some baseball.
There we go.
Get caught up on that a little bit. And other spring sports that are happening. So until then, thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time.